This is an ABC podcast.
As Israel and the United States continue their war with Iran, even promising to assassinate the new hardline Ayatollah, Pope Leo has emerged as a champion of international law. He wants an immediate ceasefire. Tens of millions of people may be hearing him, but does Jerusalem, Washington, and Tehran care? Leo knows about the brutal history of Iran's regime, but worries about strong nations acting without restraint. Dr. Miles Pattenden of Oxford University is a papal historian.
Pope Leo has expressed a great deal of concern about what's going on in Iran. He's emphasized the potential here for a tragedy of enormous proportions. He's asked both sides to de-escalate and to halt the spiral of violence. And he's very concerned, of course, about the tragedy of deaths, especially civilian deaths, and everything that could go wrong. So he's spoken out with increasing force on this subject over the course of the last week, and I expect he'll continue to do so.
I guess the question is, though, Miles, is anyone listening to him? I mean, I'm actually sure that tens of millions of people are listening to him, but are the decision makers when it comes to this war listening to him?
Well, that has always been the problem for popes who put themselves into these positions. And history, as a guide, suggests that no, the decision makers probably aren't going to be terribly influenced by what he has to say. This was a problem for the popes of the 20th century. Each time a major war flared up, when they expressed their concern for humanitarian issues, mostly both sides ignored them and, in fact, were suspicious that Pope secretly supported the other side. That's something which is probably continuing now. I can't really see that the Pope has much influence on Donald Trump. And of course, you have no influence at all over the Iranian clerics or Benjamin Netanyahu.
I guess the only sort of leverage he might have when it comes to Donald Trump is Pope Leo may influence the Catholics in the United States, on whom Donald Trump relies, at least a segment of them, for his victory.
That is true. The Pope could influence those Catholics, but the Pope has a difficult and probably impossible calculation on this kind of thing, because he claims to be a leader who speaks, in a sense, for the whole of humanity. He's a universal leader, and so he needs to say things which sum up everybody's position. He doesn't want to alienate particular constituencies. The problem is that that has tended to lead popes to make formulations of the kind that we've heard from Leo over the past week or so, in which he expresses very general points, but he isn't in fact sort of blaming one side or the other or developing these arguments, even though, you know, the Catholic tradition has a very deep and long discussion of many of the points which are now extremely salient. It's easy to say that death is wrong and is tragic, but under what circumstances might a death be justified? Might war itself be justified? The Bible gives potentially contradicting positions on this kind of thing. Everybody knows the Bible verse from Matthew where Jesus says, turn the other cheek. But there are other stories which suggest that actually that kind of unequivocal pacifism, which has been a strong strand of Christian thought over the last two millennia, that isn't the only possibility. And you think of something like the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, the moral of that could well be, well, you can't just walk by on the other side of the street consumed by your own self-righteousness. Sometimes you have to help. Sometimes there are circumstances where you have to make sacrifices. The question is, what are those circumstances? What's a proportionate sacrifice? You know, how much bad can you tolerate in the pursuit of a greater good? And these are the questions which have animated Catholic moral theology since at least the time of St. Augustine. And that's the kind of stuff that popes could comment on, but they're very reluctant to do so at a certain level because, you know, the conclusions from that might be unpalatable. They might be things that people don't want to hear, that alienate certain kinds of Catholics or certain constituencies within the Catholic Church. And so popes tend to play it safe. And we're seeing the same with Leo right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the language is apposite. The Pope does have in his quote-unquote armory the just war theory. I'll come to that in a moment. Leo, though, does seem to place a great deal of emphasis on international law. Why?
I think that partly is simply because it reflects the dominant mode of thinking of respectable opinion, particularly around the Western world. This has become a kind of bulwark and benchmark of civilized behavior between nations and peoples, and Leo buys into that consensus. And it's important that he does, because if he didn't, do probably, and certainly governments would pay him very little attention. But, you know, a lot of Catholics would raise their eyebrows as well. The problem is we are at a moment when that consensus is starting to break down. There are, in fact, now quite a lot of political actors who say, well, international law is all very well, but... And it's very difficult for the Pope, because now he, in a sense, has to pick sides. It's natural that he takes the cautious position, which is to continue to support what has been the status quo. The difficulties he's finding now over how to articulate his position on this reflect the fact that the world is itself changing.
But Miles, should we be surprised at all that Pope Leo is doing his best to emphasize international law and multilateral institutions? I mean, the Catholic Church in the post-war era was one of the architects, wasn't it, of the post-war multilateral architecture. You know, Catholic statesmen were very much behind elements of the United Nations and the European Union. The Vatican is quite invested in this idea of multilateral institutions, isn't it?
Yes, it has been through much of the 20th century, and for the reasons that you just gave. I mean, a lot of it comes down to the trauma and the tragedy of World War One and World War Two, where these things didn't exist. And of course, there was a catastrophe on an unprecedented scale around Europe. And the papacy itself came across as really largely impotent during those conflicts. So it's not surprising that popes after the war started to invest in these ideas, to invest in the idea that Catholic politicians around Europe and the United States should come together to create an architecture that achieved, in a sense, what Benedict XV in World War One and possibly Pius XII in World War Two hadn't been able to achieve. But the problem is that that consensus amongst the politicians is probably gone, and Leo now needs to react to that.
How much does he see himself, in a sense, as a rival for the attention of the American people? He's the first American pope, and this has been talked about in almost the year since he assumed the papacy, that he would be the alternative American voice to Donald Trump. I'm wondering if that is playing into it. I know it's not his overt intention, but I'm wondering if this is informing some of his statements on the war on Iran.
It might well be. And there are two ways of reading the way that Leo has played it so far. On the one hand, we could say that he's playing a long game. He's come up with statements that hint at criticism of President Trump and certainly suggest that he takes a very different view about a number of key issues. But it's measured and it's cautious. Now, that could be because Leo is quietly replacing some of the more conservative American bishops with more liberal ones, and that over time we'll see that his confidence in speaking out against conservative government policies in the United States increases. That's very possible. Or it could equally be that actually Leo is very cautious and doesn't quite know what to do, and what we see is a kind of hesitation and indecision about this kind of thing. But there's no doubt there is great potential for the Pope to speak out and to be very influential in opposing Trump's policies. The risk, though, of course, is that American Catholics, a majority of whom voted for the Republicans in 2024, that they won't follow him.
Leo does have at his disposal a key indicator of whether a conflict is acceptable, and that is the just war theory. There's a wrinkle in this, of course, but first of all, what does the just war theory very briefly suggest, and how might it apply to Iran?
The just war theory says a war can be just if it fulfills certain criteria. It has to be waged by a legitimate authority, it has to be for a just cause, and it has to be undertaken with the right intention. Perhaps also that, you know, it has to be proportional. The good that you're going to do by fighting the war must exceed the bad that you will also inevitably do. The problem with this as a theory is, of course, how it translates into practice in particular instances. And that is what is probably difficult for Catholics now. We take even one aspect of it. Thomas Aquinas and Augustine, they say, well, you know, war should always be a last resort. But what qualifies as a last resort? Should America wait until Iran actually has nuclear weapons? Is that the moment, or is the last resort the moment just before they have nuclear weapons, or the moment just before it becomes inevitable that they can have them? you can argue over this almost endlessly. So the theory needs to be applied in practice, and the difficulty is in how you do that. This is one area where the Pope so far has been quite vague. He hasn't really developed a sophisticated framework in explaining this, or, you know, when it says a legitimate authority. Well, the Pope is very firm at the moment that the legitimate authority is the United Nations and the system, the international framework of multilateral institutions. But what if they don't work? What if they're clearly no longer able to meet the challenge?
The wrinkle in the just war theory, as Pope Leo would have to deal with it, is that didn't Pope Francis effectively abolish the just war theory? As I recall, he said something like, in an era of weapons of mass destruction, it's impossible to have proportionate response. So the Vatican's own position on the just war theory is unclear, isn't it?
But the Vatican's position on these things is always going to be unclear. And Pope Francis didn't rule this ex cathedra, so Leo can simply say, I don't agree with my predecessor, or he was speaking in a general context, whereas this is a much more specific one. There's always a way to get around these arguments.
Dr. Miles Pattenden, he is a historian at Deakin University and the University of Oxford. He's a specialist in the history of the Vatican. Miles, thanks for coming back to the program.
Thank you very much.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.